Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Meanwhile, Chicago Tribune restaurant critic Phil Vitale joins us on Wednesdays about this time. Hi, Phil. Where are you?
I am home.
All right.
Working on my computer.
Working on your computer or working on your computer?
Tapping. I'm on my keyboard. I am actually on my chair near my computer.
Yeah.
I can see it clearly.
Okay, that's good.
But yes, the propositions are very important. I should get these straight.
So are you, what are you writing about today? Or is that something we have to wait and read next Wednesday?
You have to wait and read about it next week.
Hey, by the way, let's talk about the things that you have been writing about. Restaurant critics, Chicago Tribune. I want to start, though, with a question that Bill and Wendy, whose show precedes this one, were having on our station today. They were arguing about what happens to the basket of bread that you leave on the table after you leave. One of them said the bread gets thrown away. The other person said it gets put in a basket for somebody else. What do you think happens to the basket of bread that I leave on my table?
Option B would be a health code violation.
Yeah, I didn't ask that. What do you think happens to the bread when I leave it on the table?
I think it gets thrown out.
What a waste. What a shame.
Unless a waiter's hungry and grabs one on the, you know, in the back.
Don't blame him for that. I'm sure the bread's fine.
I do it all the time.
You know, really, I guess that's what you got to do. But that really is, there ought to be a way for us to manage that.
It really is. And the dual difficulty, of course, besides transporting it to people who can put it to good use, is that freshly made bread, which most restaurants we're talking about are dealing with, has a pretty short shelf life. It's meant to be consumed hours, you know, from when it emerges from the oven, no later. So you got to really have a good system in place to get that bread where it can be useful or cooked into something else.
Phil, I just thought a big thought. You ready for it?
Oh, yeah.
Here's what they do. They tell you, we can get you a fresh basket of bread, but for 50 cents off, 50% off, we'll get you one with recycled bread from other tables this evening.
It's genius.
It's essentially the very same bread. It was just sitting on that table. Now it's sitting on your table.
Right.
Ding, ding, ding.
And yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
You don't normally get charged for that bread. They just kind of drop it there. But I don't know. Find a way. Your first drink is 50% off. Something like that.
But
save us the bread.
Other people have been breathing on it and coughing over it.
You don't have to take it. So you would say, yeah, I'm not one of those people. I'm not going to have that.
I don't want to do it.
In fact, I'm nervous. Not going to do it. In fact, I'm a little nervous about the bread I have anyway, so the promise that it was actually breathed upon by other patrons is not going to happen. Then don't take the bread.
Right. Well, the waste of bread like that and also dietary changes, which so a lot of people are avoiding, bread and gluten, what have you, I think is one of the reasons behind the decision by some restaurants not to automatically offer bread anymore or to have a very composed bread basket for which you pay $6 or something. Mostly because people who make that commitment will eat the bread or take it back or something.
I'm sorry to hear that, though. Although, to be honest with you, if they put the bread in front of me with a little olive oil and some Parmesan, and some places have a little, like, olive, maybe, or carrot tapenade thing, or a little relish that you can put on there, if you do that well, that is one of the most delightful things in the world. And it can't be costing you that much money. If you do that well, a nice oil, some nice cheese, and then a nice little spread or little dish of something to go on, a nice piece of bread, oh, that's such a nice way to start your meal.
But would you pay $6 for it? Would you rather not?
I would rather not pay for it and have it, which has been working out for me at some places.
Right, which is good. Recently. But in a larger sense, for some restaurants, that may represent an appetizer not ordered.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Because
point.
You have filled up on olive and olive oil and tomato spread and that wonderful bread they make, which gives them like great points for hospitality and warmth, but zero nickels in the till.
Yeah. Phil Vitale is the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. He said it's a health code violation for them to recycle the bread, and he believes that it is, in fact, not recycled. It's tossed out. You wrote in the Tribune, bare necessities, where to grab a bite before and after Soldier Field home games. Season starts, we all know, Thursday. And you've got some places that we should just bump into real quick here, shall we?
Sure. There's Manny's Coffee Shop and Deli, which has been a South Loop institution for a long, long time. It's where all the politicians stop for their shots when they're out campaigning. If it's an early game, you can get there. If it's a day game, you can get there early and have some egg dishes and whatever. And if you go afterwards, there are entrees and sandwiches and stuff like that. And you can always get corned beef. That's a good one. There's Low Country South Loop, which is a spinoff. There is one in Lakeview, and it's very rustic looking. And they do seafood boils, and they serve it in the plastic bag. So you get a bag of seafood and potatoes and whatnot, and you get a bib, and you go in there and get messy. That's 11th and Wabash.
1132 South Wabash. They also have their deep-fried Oreos.
Deep-fried Oreos, which I had never had until my son and his friends came over one Thanksgiving with one of those big deep fryers for turkey. And after they did turkey, they came back the next day, changed the oil, and then just started thinking of things to deep-fry. And eventually they got around to Oreos. And you know what? They're not bad. They're pretty good.
I can't think of a worse idea.
Doesn't it sound awful? Yeah, one bite, and you'd be, yeah.
That'd be changed,
you'd say,
huh?
Well, you'd want a basket of those instead of stale rolls. I'll tell you that.
Chicago Firehouse Restaurant is just on South Michigan, 14th and Michigan.
Yeah, that's a nice place. That's been a restaurant around. It's got a nice. It's got a few years on it now. Finally, they were closed for about a year and a half, 2 years after that. After a fire caused by a roofing accident.
Kind of ironic that the Chicago Firehouse Restaurant caught fire.
That occurred to a few people, actually, but yeah, and nobody was hurt, so we're allowed to joke about it.
Yeah.
But now they're back. That's good. Steak and seafood is what they're about in the evening, but they do have a Sunday brunch. So on the days the Bears are playing at home and it's a noon or 3 o'clock start, great place to hit for your little pregame fill ups.
Bar Louie is on here at 47th and Polk. You write, a lively bar with good pub food. But
right.
Are there any places that surprise you or that I might, like I've heard of Low Country. I think Manny's is a pretty well-known place in town and Bar Louie too. What's a place that might surprise folks on the list here?
Tapas Valencia. It's 1530 South State Street. Very good, as the name suggests, Spanish, mostly tapas, some paella. They have a brunch menu with more eggy dishes, but when you're there at brunch, you can get any of the tapas anyway, so you don't have to decide. And it's very pretty on the inside. It's got a nice little outdoor patio for the few weeks sniff left in our outdoor patio season. And, yeah, it's quite good. The same people are behind a restaurant in Naperville, so they know what they're doing. They've been around for a while. And also Acadia, which people probably wouldn't think about because it's a 2 Michelin star restaurant, and they usually they're known for their multi-course hundreds of dollars, you know, menus. But they have a little bar in front that has all of 20 seats, and they have a little bar menu with a really good lobster roll and a delicious burger with bacon onion jam. And they are about to launch probably sometime in October, about to launch an 8-course, I guess you'd call it a tasting menu of bar snacks. So for $45, you get 8 little bar snacks.
Wow.
And you can fill up on that. It sounds, I haven't seen one, so I'm not sure if you can share it with another person. I'm guessing you can, because bar snacks tend to be a little rest kind of heavy in the stomach anyway, but that's good. It's just a small bar, only 20 seats. They don't open till 5, but that's one you won't think of. Like, oh, that was a fun Bear game. What do you say we go to a 2 Michelin star restaurant right now in our Butkus jerseys and short pants?
So,
well, you won't be alone if you go there, if you go to the bar.
It's at South Wabash, 1600 South Wabash, Acadia,
right.
And Bar Louie, Cafe Bionda. The list goes on. It's in the ChicagoTribune.com/dining, or read it in print. Phil Vitale's Bare Necessities, where to grab a bite before and after Soldier Field home games. By the way, texts include these. John, some restaurants take their unused bread and make croutons. I believe that, although I'll believe that's also a health code violation. John, maybe the waitress brings the bread basket as you get your soup or salad, and you choose what rolls you want. She hands them to you and then takes the basket back to the kitchen, and it doesn't sit on the table. That sounds like an economical way for everybody. That doesn't sound like
that
such
is.
A bad idea.
And it's a nice way of providing variety, because if they carry a tray like that, they could have as many as 6 different types of bread, and people can pick one or two and get it like that. And in that case, I think they're probably okay with with using the bread for croutons if none of it gets, you know, eventually there'll be leftover bread, right?
I got 2 questions for you before you go, Phil. It's 1:51. Let me pause. Come back and just answer this question for me. You write about a Wisconsin-style supper club here in the Chicago, in Chicago. I think those are some of people's favorite words, especially this time of year, Wisconsin-style supper club. And we've got one in town. And maybe if you don't answer this today, Phil, answer it next Wednesday. Before it gets cold, I should eat where? In a minute on WGN. It says here, yeah, hey there. Wisconsin-style supper club offers near-perfect prime rib in a Fulton Market basement, huh?
Yeah. Well, actually, I said, Yahe, where?
Yahe, where? Oh, yes, you did.
See what I did? See what I did there?
It's really funny what you wrote there, Phil Vitale. The place is called St. Clair Supper Club, and it's in the Fulton Market district, huh?
Yes, it's owned by the Alinea people, the people of the, you know, $290-something dollar, you know, full course, you know, 15 course menus, and of Aviary and of Royster. In fact, St. Clair Supper Club is in the basement underneath Royster, right there at Fulton Market.
This...
And it's a kind of a recreation of a kind of a childhood memory, but maybe with a little more sophisticated cooking, although the menu is very true to the concept.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, if you fancy it up too much, then you don't have a Wisconsin-style supper club. You got to have prime rib. They've got that.
They've got prime rib. Twist is all they have is prime rib and maybe one other special that day. That's it. And they only cook the prime rib to medium rare. That's the temperature. That's what you get.
Caesar salad?
Nope. Oh, yes, yeah, they're very nice Caesar salad in a wooden bowl. It's a big thing. They've got the cream corn. They've got the cream spinach. They've got all the sides you want. They do a brandy old-fashioned, as they do north of the border here.
They do
a frozen grasshopper pie, which is another supper club thing. And what makes it, of course, is that the prime rib is absolutely delicious. I eat a lot of prime rib. There was a time when I was a much younger man, and I would grab prime rib every time it was available. And sometimes it would be super fatty and occasionally not. And this stuff is damn near perfect.
The name of the restaurant is St. Clair Supper Club. It's in the Fulton Market area. The address is 951 West Fulton. You know where the restaurants are.
It's in the basement.
3 stars. The rib cuts are generally $48 to $75, but it sure sounds delicious. I've kind of got a hankering for everything you just described. I'm out of time here, Phil Vitale. Will you join us next Wednesday, sir?
I would love to.